From Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 16. Jesus said, "You are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything, but is thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hidden. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under the bushel basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven." Being that we're in Northeast Ohio, I'm sure every one of you has at some point either driven a vehicle or been riding in a vehicle that in the snow or the ice has slid its tires trying to move, or skidded a little bit while trying to stop or slow down, or done any sort of fishtailing while driving due to the road conditions. It doesn't have to be some major thing you experience, just anything that caused you a little bit of struggle. Now, we all know what generally helps snowy and icy roads: salt. However, we all know by now that sometimes the salt doesn't work, and that's why we slip around. Sometimes it's too cold for the salt to effectively do its job. Sometimes there's just not enough salt spread on the road for it to work. And sometimes there just isn't any salt on the road because they haven't gotten to it yet, or because it's too cold, or they're trying to conserve salt, and you're just almost destined to slide around, it seems. So then, needless to say, when I first read this passage this week, which in many translations says something along the lines of, "You are the salt of the earth, but if salt loses its saltiness, how will it become salty again?" I understood what Jesus was talking about, because unsalty salt is no good. It's no help to snow driving at all, not a problem for Jesus's time, but one for us. So even though Jesus isn't talking about snow and ice, he's referencing salt's use in preserving food, which is something we don't have as much today because we have refrigeration. But the point is the same. Salt is important. We use salt in many different ways. And when salt loses its saltiness, it's no good for anybody. And in case that doesn't get his point across, Jesus moves quickly on from salt to the scripture to tell us that in addition to being the salt of the earth, we are also the light of the world. Now, it's important to realize about this scripture that Jesus is not saying here that if you want to be salt and light, or I pray that you desire to become salt of the earth and the light of the world, or it would be nice if you considered acting like the salt of the earth and the light of the world every once in a while. Jesus is actually saying you are the salt of the earth and you are the light of the world. Each and every one of us, we are salt, we are light. Not sometimes, not when we are really good, not just when we try to be, not just a chosen few of us. We are, all of us, all the time. So if we are salt and light, we better figure out what that means for how we're supposed to live. Now, why does Jesus choose to use salt and light here? Why are they his illustrations? What might they have in common that could teach us about how we act today? Well, first of all, both salt and light are necessary for life. We can't live without either one. This might not be as obvious for us today when we have an overabundance of salt in our food, proper refrigeration, lights that work at the flip of a switch, and even cell phones that come with built-in flashlights. But in Jesus' day, 2,000 years ago, the necessity of salt and light was a little more obvious. Without salt, food would spoil. The day began and ended with the rising and the setting of the sun. Salt and light were integral and necessary parts to life. Yet at the same time, both salt and light do not exist for their own purpose. They both only fulfill their purpose when used to help other things. We don't put salt on clear, dry roads. We don't just eat salt without putting it on food. You don't just shine light straight into your eyes because then you actually can't see anything. Instead, we use salt and light for other things to be helped. To melt the snow and ice on roads to make food taste better. To see things in the dark. Salt and light both fulfill their purpose when they're used to help and to assist. And so then, since we are salt and light, we see that we are both necessary and we do not exist for our own purpose. We're necessary to spread the good news of Jesus. We're necessary to be the hands and feet of Christ in our world today. We're necessary to show love to others. And we're at our best when we do not live merely for our own purpose, but for God's purpose. And God's purpose for our lives, in part, is that we're to love others, serve others, assist those in need. That's why we're salt and light, because we're necessary to God's plan and purpose in the world. And because we're at our best when we're living in a way that's not merely for ourselves, but for God and for others. We see salt and we see light. When I think about light, one of the things that often comes to mind for me is the Olympic torch. And one of my favorite parts of the Olympics is the opening ceremony. I like watching the way the host country presents itself, and I like watching the countries parade in with their different flags and different uniforms. And most of all, though, I like watching them light the Olympic flame. I remember watching Muhammad Ali light the cauldron in Atlanta. I was reminded recently about how the Canadians had mechanical problems when they had it last in Vancouver, causing one of the athletes to actually be left out of the process of the lighting. And I still remember the lighting in London, but done by 7 young athletes, a secret kept until they arrived in the stadium. Now, an important rule of the Olympics is that the cauldron must be lit so that the public can see it throughout the entire games. Because the point of the Olympic torch is that it can be able to be seen by the public, lit and burning brightly for the entirety of the games. It's always to be shining brightly. Unhidden, much like Jesus describes light in the scripture, when he says, "You're the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden." We're called to be light like the Olympic torch, burning brightly so that all may see it. Our light shines like that. That's what it means to be the light of the world. Just as a city on the hill cannot be hidden, just like the Olympic torch cannot be hidden, so too should our love and service of others in the name of Christ be shining so that all can be impacted by the good news of Jesus. We're the salt of the earth. We're the light of the world. And we act as salt and light when we share the love of Christ. We act as salt and light when we serve. We act as salt and light when we offer comfort, when we offer prayer, when we offer help, when we offer Christ. That's how we're called to live. But I don't really need to tell you all of this. We are already salt and light. Jesus declared that. And you're already being salt and light to those you know. So the challenge here isn't really to become salt and light. The challenge isn't even to be more salty salt or to let your light shine brighter. The challenge is this: identify what you are already doing as salt and light. Identify the ways that you're sharing Christ's love with others. Identify the ways that you're serving others and helping others. Identify the ways that you're impacting others. The ways that we're sharing the love of Christ. The ways that we're caring for others. Because we are the salt of the earth. We are the light of the world. And as salt and light, we share the love of Christ with others.